Hello, all you happy people.
You've heard him at Rowe Field in Columbia.
First down, MIC.
You've heard him at various venues around town.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, welcome to Mandela Bean Center.
The home for Billiken basketball, Chaffetz Arena.
You've most likely heard his voice all over the St. Louis area.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive. Deep right field. That might get out of here. Off the top of the wall. Here comes Morton around third. She's going to score, and the Cougars win.
Willis from the corner. A little bit long, but a long rebound from Catchings. Catchings to the glass. And gets it to fall. He'll go to the free throw line.
Inside the 45 to the 40. Over the right side, he's got room. Inside the 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, untouched. Touchdown, CBC.
He's the hardest working sports announcer around town that no one has ever heard of.
Oh, man, that's cold.
He's Randy Molman, host of The Mole Hole. So rub your eyes and shake the cobwebs out, St. Louis. The Mole Hole with Randy Molman starts now. On 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good Friday, St. Louis. See what I did there? It's a Good Friday. And it is technically Good Friday. Good morning. It's 5:01 a.m. here in St. Louis. My name's Randy Molman, and you're listening to The Mole Hole on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and inside STL.com. Lots going on in sports. Lots going on. I'm going to talk about this lawsuit that the city and county of St. Louis has filed versus the NFL. Its owners, and the Rams. I'm going to talk about that this morning. We're going to talk Cardinal baseball, of course. We're going to talk Blues hockey with Randall Ritchie at 6:20 from St. Louis game time. And the Mizzou football spring game is tomorrow. I know. Everyone's like, oh, it's a practice game. No one cares. I care. First of all, I have to be there. I have to work as the public address announcer for Mizzou football, part of my job, and I will be there tomorrow. But I get excited about the spring game, and the reason I get excited about the spring game is not to make any bold predictions about how good Mizzou's going to be at a practice, but I enjoy the spring game because I get to see some of the players, the younger players, the players 2, 3, and 4 deep on the depth chart. They get playing time, and you get to watch them play. And I hate to toot my own horn, but after previous spring games, I came out and said, watch for this guy, Coney Ealy. Watch for this guy, Charles Harris, because in the next year or two, these are going to be players. And you can tell sometimes how good they might be. And how athletic and you just get you sort of get an idea of some of these younger kids that you don't know much about, that haven't gotten a lot of playing time, that are working their way up the depth chart. There's always a couple of diamonds in there. And that's what I'm most excited about. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the Mizzou spring game. We'll go over the depth chart and maybe some players to keep an eye on. I'm really excited. And I'm always excited to be in the booth at Mizzou, let's be honest. I'm just excited to be up there. And I'm excited to be in Columbia tomorrow. Also, we're going to head scratchers. I've got a lot of head scratchers. I'm scratching my head a lot this week. And so we'll have head scratchers today as well. Let's start real quick. Oh, just terrible news about Lou Brock. Cardinal institution. When you think of the of Cardinals baseball, when I think of Cardinals baseball, look, I was born in 1970. And so my first recollection of Cardinals baseball was when I was 6, 7, 8 years old in the late 70s. And Lou Brock. And so my favorite Cardinal growing up was Ted Simmons. I loved Ted Simmons, but Lou Brock was right there. And Lou Brock's career was winding down at that point. But he was one of my favorite players. And being a kid who collected baseball cards and looked on the back of those cards and looked at all the stats and the fact that he was the top base stealer of all time. And I mean, he is a, he, when I think of the Cardinals, when someone says to me, give me 5 players that encapsulate the Cardinals franchise, Lou Brock is in that 5. Stan Musial, Bob Gibson, Lou Brock, Ozzie Smith. And then it could be a host of other players. I mean, the tradition is so rich. Yadier Molina is probably in that 5. But Lou Brock's in there, and he was just diagnosed with cancer. He's going through treatment. Just terrible news. He's been through a lot physically lately. And thoughts and prayers to Lou Brock and his family on a speedy recovery. And a full recovery. Full recovery. Just bad news. Just bad news. You hate that. You hate to hear that. I was looking through Lou Brock's career numbers. You know, it's funny. We get caught up in statistics and people say, well, a successful leadoff hitter has got to have a 350 on-base percentage or higher. Lou Brock's career on-base percentage is under that, 343. He wasn't an on-base machine. He hit 293 in his career. But it wasn't like he got on base at a 360, 370 clip. If you go back and talk to now the sabermetrics geeks, they'll tell you Tim Raines was a much better leadoff hitter than Lou Brock. I've seen that online. I've seen people say that when Tim Raines was fighting to get in the Hall of Fame. And he finally got in, and it was deserved. But to claim that he was a far better leadoff hitter than Lou Brock, I mean, you're basing that largely on on-base percentage, and I get it. But Lou Brock led the league in steals 8 times. He stole over 50 bases 13 times in his career. 13 times he stole over 50 bases. You don't see that anymore. So I would argue that as a leadoff hitter, okay, maybe he doesn't have the glitzy on-base percentage. But his impact on the game when he got on base was unmeasurable because of the way, or should I say immeasurable? What is it? Unmeasurable or immeasurable? I don't know. That's Matt Davis here as well this morning. I looked over to him and I said, I don't know. Who knows? My wife's in English, has an English degree. She'll probably text me here shortly. That is if she's awake, which is doubtful. However, my point is that the impact he made on the game when he did get on base was far greater than anybody else in his era because of the threat of the stolen base. When he got on base, pitchers would have to account for him. Catchers would have to try to account for him. Plus, he had 3,023 hits. I mean, when you get 3,000 hits, that means you had a career, you had longevity, and you were good, really good. So I know a lot of the sabermetrics geeks kind of pick apart Lou Brock's numbers and say, other than the 3,000 hits, which automatically gets him in from that era, he wasn't that great of a leadoff hitter. Yeah, he was. It's one of the best of all time. I love that his last year, 1979, he got in the All-Star game at age 40, and he hit 304 as a 40-year-old, played 120 games. So Lou Brock, I mean, he is one of the pillars of Cardinal Nation. You think of the Cardinals organization, Lou Brock is in that conversation of five Cardinal players that if you think of the Cardinals, you put in that top five of all time where you say, give me five players that encapsulate Cardinal baseball over the years. And for me, it would be Bob Gibson, Stan Musial, Lou Brock, Ozzie Smith, Yadier Molina. Red Shane Deans is definitely up there as well. You think of the redhead. You could text the show, 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. Send me your text about any memories you have of Lou Brock. I remember as a kid sitting out in the left field bleachers, the Cardinals played the Reds. And I remember this because Pete Rose was my favorite player that wasn't a Cardinal. And he was playing left field that day. So sitting in the left field bleachers at Busch Stadium 2 with Lou Brock in front of me and Pete Rose in front of me as a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, I was in heaven for 3 hours. Just sitting behind those, watching those two guys. We have a caller here calling in this morning in the Mole Hole, and I love to get calls from time to time. Let's do it. Who's on the phone this morning? This is Randy Molman here in the Mole Hole. Who am I talking to?
Mark.
Hey, Mark. What's up, brother?
What's up, man?
How are you?
Hey, what about the greatest invention ever, the Brock umbrella?
The Brock umbrella. Absolutely. You know what? I was. It's funny you say that, Mark. Last year, I think I went to a handful of games last year, and one of the games we were headed down to, it was raining. They were going to try to get the game in, and I remember thinking to myself, "Man, how is it I don't have a Brock umbrella?
Greatest invention ever!" Hey, and then talking about Tim Raines couldn't carry Lou Brock's jock on Lou Brock's first day.
Look. There's a reason
to... Hey, and Lou never got caught with a vial of Coke in his back pocket either.
Yeah, that's right. Look, there's a reason Tim Raines, it took so long for him to get in the Hall. Hey, make no mistake, during Tim Raines' time, he was one of the best leadoff hitters in the game. He stole a lot of bases. He got a lot of hits. But he's not... And the Sabermetrics guys loved him and pushed him because of the walks. But Tim Raines was, I think, at the end of the day, deserved to be in the Hall of Fame, but... I mean, come on, Lou Brock, 3,023 hits, 938 steals. I mean, he's an automatic first ballot guy. So, yeah, there's no comparison.
Lou Brock got those Cardinal teams going back in the 60s. He was the trendsetter.
That's the thing I was saying is he may not have had those glitzy on-base numbers. You look at some of his best years, his on-base percentage was in the 320s. You know, we look at that now. That's one of the things people make an argument for why Colton Wong shouldn't play because his on-base percentage is so terrible. And I, in part, agree with that. But you look at these numbers for a leadoff hitter, 320, 327, 328, and 66, 67, 68. People today would be like, yeah, that's not very good for a leadoff hitter. Meanwhile, he stole 74, 52, and 62 bases those years. So the impact he put on the game when he got on base far exceeded anybody else.
They could take Sabermetrics as a joke.
I think some of the stats are worthy. I think once you dive deeper into some of that stuff, I just think you're just trying to make arguments for arguments that aren't there. I think people use those to just build a case. When really, if you look at just the basic statistics, that should be enough, right?
All that matters to me is W's and L's.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
When it's all said and done, and these guys get these contracts, they can do all the sabermetric stuff they want. But if you're a pitcher, what do they look at most? Wins and losses.
Wins and losses. And by the way, now, because of the power pitching element, they look at strikeouts per nine. Like that. So that's, yeah. We looked at that, though, back in the day. Nolan Ryan, Bob Gibson. I mean, we looked at that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, and in baseball, what's getting the big money? Power numbers.
Exactly. So, I don't care what a guy throws, if there's a guy on first base, if he throws more curveballs than fastballs, who cares?
You know, what's sad as I looked at Lou Brock's numbers, what's sad to me is I looked at all those numbers, and it makes me sad that we have no one today that does what Lou Brock does. Like, there's no one in baseball that gets on base and causes and wreaks havoc when they reach base. Billy Hamilton,
Billy Hamilton for the Reds
is as close as you can get to, and he's not Lou Brock. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is in today's game, there's really only a couple of guys who, when they get on base, you have to account for them, and it slows the game down, and it makes the pitcher nervous, and the catchers, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no one like Lou Brock in today's game. No one. Could you imagine if you put Lou Brock out there today, the kind of havoc he would cause against these catchers who can't throw and these pitchers who don't know how to hold runners?
Oh, he would be on third base before John Lester even got the ball home.
Absolutely. Hey, Mark, thanks for calling in. Anything else?
Nope, that's it. Happy Easter, guys.
Yeah, man. That's Mark calling in today on the phone lines. You can do the same, 855-282-8255, or shoot me a text, 855-282-8255. Anyway, I got sort of sidetracked on the Lou Brock numbers. Just one of the greatest players of all time, and definitely in my conversation for when I think of Cardinal baseball, what five players would I think of? Lou Brock's in that for sure. It's not even a question. Lou Brock is, you think of Cardinal baseball, you think of a guy like Lou Brock. And so thoughts and prayers for a full recovery from one of the all-time greats, Lou Brock. I was just so sad to hear about that. But he's been fighting health issues for a while now, and you won't find a guy, anytime he's interviewed, he's got a smile on his face, he's friendly, he's positive, and if there's anyone who can beat that, a diagnosis like that, it's a guy like Lou Brock. Switch gears real quick. The NHL playoffs in full swing. Five of the eight games in the first round games have been won by the road team. New York Rangers beat Montreal on Wednesday night in Montreal, 2-0. Boston took down Ottawa in Ottawa, 2-1. Of course, your St. Louis Blues won in overtime at Minnesota after getting, badly outplayed. Jake Allen, one of the greatest playoff performances in goal that we've ever seen, put the team on his back, willed them to victory. And when Minnesota scored with 22.7 left in the third period, what I was thinking, and I know every single one of you Blues fans was thinking the same thing. After all that, after Jake Allen stood on his head for almost three full periods, got badly outplayed, we were going to eke out a victory against Minnesota because of Jake Allen, and then they score late. Come on, admit it. You all thought they were done. You all thought Minnesota would win in overtime. I did. I mean, the momentum, how do you not think that? After pounding Jake Allen with shots, firing pucks at him, pressuring around the net all night long, not being able to get one past him until 22 seconds left, then you get a deflection right to Parisi, who puts in the easy goal, and then a huge sigh from me when I saw that. I was like, that's it. They're going to lose in overtime. And they didn't. Edmondson with the game winner. How about that? Sobotka scores. Edmondson and Sobotka? That's awesome. So the Blues, where do you go? We always talk about how you rally when you lose your first round game. And then we talk about how teams, after dominating and winning, where do you go from there? But how do you get outplayed, outmanned, outgunned, destroyed? They were badly outplayed. And they won that game. What now? Anyway, other road teams, San Jose beat Edmonton also in overtime. Last night, last night. Washington at home after falling behind early, the favorite. They came back and won in overtime 3-2. Nashville won in Chicago. How about that? And then Anaheim took down Calgary at home. But anyway, out of the first eight games, five road victories. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Are you there?
Hello?
Hello? Who do we got?
This is Hockey Bob.
Hey, Hockey Bob. What's up, my man?
Hey, before I get to the Blues, I can't believe you didn't put Vince Tolman getting eaten up by the tarp as one of your top five Cardinals. I was at that game.
Yeah, hey. Do you know that?
It was sad.
What's funny is I have a ton. When I was a kid, I was sort of geeky this way. I recorded on VHS. I recorded a ton of stuff, right? So I have. Hello. I'm in the process of taking a ton of VHS tape and converting it to DVD, and I've got a ton of playoff games from the 80s, Cardinals versus Dodgers in 85, Cardinals and Giants, and Vin Scully and Joe Garagiola talking about Vince Coleman getting eaten up by the tarp, having him on the broadcast before the game to talk about it. I just remember when I was rewatching that as I was moving it to DVD, I was like, how on earth? I still can't figure out how that happened.
Well, you know, the irony of that whole game was, even after that happened, the Cardinals still beat the Dodgers, I think, 12-2 or something like that. They batted around in the fourth inning. It's irony because, you know, my dad grew up in Montreal, and he was a big Brooklyn Bums fan, and then we moved to California, and he was a Dodger fan. Well, we moved here in 75, and after a couple of years, I became a Cardinal fan because of the tradition. We went to that game, and he was still a Dodger fan. So after the Cardinals batted around in the fourth inning, he looked at me and he said, "Hey, can we go home now?" I said, "No, Dad, you go home, but I'm staying till the end." He wasn't very happy about having to stay till the end of that game. But, hey, you know, on the Blues game, and you mentioned last night's game, I watched the game between Chicago and Nashville. Chicago couldn't have done anything more right, but they couldn't get one past Pecoretti. Those kinds of things happen in sports. And, you know, people like to overreact, like the Blues game the other night. I knew without a shadow of a doubt that the Blues were going to win that game. I knew that Jake Allen was going to steal that game. I knew that somebody in overtime was going to score. I wasn't worried a bit. I just knew in the bottom of my heart that the Blues would win that game. And, you know, there was a game back in 1981 at the Boston Garden, Bruins and Quebec Nordiques. Little goalie by the name of Ron Tugner. And this was back in the days when you actually had ties. They only played 5 minutes of overtime.
Right.
And Ron Tugnutt stopped 70 of 73 shots in a 3-3 tie. And that was a great display of goaltending, just like Jake Allen. But you know what? The bottom line is, guys, that's what goaltenders get paid to do, right? They get paid to stop the puck. They get paid. Good goaltenders get paid to steal a game. So Jake Allen literally just did his job, and I'm betting that the Blues are going to come out a little bit better this tonight, and I'm betting that the Blues are going to go up 2-0 on Minnesota after tonight and come back home, lose game 3, win game 4, and then clinch game 5 back in Minnesota. That's been my prediction since the very beginning, and I'm sticking with it.
Hockey Bob, let me ask you a question. What is your plan for watching tonight? Are you a guy who you're at home in the quiet watching, listening? Or are you a guy that likes to get out with the people and go to a bar and have a few beverages and watch with the Blues fans?
Either or is fine. For me, it depends on my schedule because I work for a private chauffeur company. And like this morning, I had to pick up somebody at 3:30 in the morning to take them to the airport, which is where I'm at now. So it all depends on what my morning schedule is. If I can stay out a little bit later, I'll probably go to a bar and watch it with people. If not, I'll stay home and watch it by myself and my two dogs. Either way, I'll be fine. You know, it'll be cool either way.
All right. Well, let's hope we get a game 2 victory tonight with look, I agree with you. You're one of the few, though. You realize that, right? Most Blues fans, I guarantee you.
I'm an enigma. I can't help it.
I guarantee you most Blue fans, and I admit it, I was one of them. When Minnesota scored late, I was like, oh, after all that? And now,
I'm not the type of fan that actually gets my emotions involved in sports. I watch hockey for purely entertainment purposes. I watch hockey out of jealousy and envy, wishing that God would have created me to be the kind of person that can play in the NHL. But he didn't, so I just have to deal with what he did give me and maximize it. But, yeah, I'm 57 years old. I'm way past getting emotionally involved in watching sports, getting mad, throwing the remote, kicking in the TV, stuff like that. I just watch it for purely entertainment purposes, so I can be a little bit more objective about a lot of things because I don't have the emotion that most fans do. But yeah, we'll be fine. Hey, you have a happy Easter and save some Easter egg hunting for the kids. All right,
there you go, man. Thanks, Hockey Bob. You too.
Take care, Randy. Have all right. A good one.
Yep, that's Hockey Bob joining us here. A couple of callers this morning. I love it talking a little Blues, talking a little Cardinals. Hockey Bob at the beginning of his call mentioned Vince Coleman being out, getting eaten up by the tarp. You know what's funny is a lot of people say, well, that's one of the reasons the Cardinals didn't win. You know, his replacement was Tito Landrum. And in the NLCS that year, Landrum hit .429 with four RBIs versus the Dodgers. And in the World Series, he hit .360. Now, look, you're not going to have the impact that Vince Coleman had. But was Vince Coleman going to hit .429 and .360? I don't know. But Tito Landrum did a ridiculous job replacing Vince Coleman. So as bad as it was that Coleman was out for that 85 series because he got run over by the fastest man in baseball, got run over by an automatic tarp, his replacement was fantastic. We're going to go to break, but before we do, I want to mention that I am going to be emceeing a fantastic event on April 27th at the Ritz-Carlton in Clayton, and I'm emceeing for this organization called Voices for Children. Voices for Children advocates for abused and neglected children and youth in St. Louis by representing their best interests in court and in the community. Basically, Voices for Children is an organization that speaks up for kids in foster care. And I got to know this organization a little bit last week. Had a great meeting with them, talked to them. And what they do for kids in the foster system is really quite remarkable. And so I'm emceeing their big fundraiser, their fundraiser of the year. This is where they... where they get their most donations. This is where they raise their most money so that they can operate and do their thing here in the St. Louis community. And it's their big fundraiser of the year. And I'll be emceeing it on April 27th. It's at the Ritz-Carlton in Clayton. For your $250 ticket, you get dinner, you get drinks, you get there's a happy hour, there's dinner, and then there's the program. And you'll be donating to an absolutely terrific cause. A couple of noted items, which are pretty cool, which is why I wanted to mention it. They offer six high-end raffle items. There are three $50 tickets and three $100 tickets. So if you're listening, here's a couple that I think you might be interested in. And by the way, you do not have to be present to win. There is the Ultimate Golf Raffle. A chance for you and three friends to join amateur golfer Jim Holtgreave for a round of golf at the acclaimed Boone Valley Golf Course in Augusta. There's also a round of golf for four at a golf club in Cape Girardeau. Dates by mutual agreement. The offer expires by the end of October, but a great package. And for a $100 ticket, you have a chance to win that package. There's also the Cardinal Red Raffle, which is a $50 item. Great seats for three different Cardinal games, one set of four tickets in the infield box 141 along the first base side. Another set of four tickets is in the infield box 144, three rows back from the Cardinals dugout. And the third set is for the Cards versus Giants on Friday, May 19th in Section 257 with a parking pass and Redbird Club access. So the other two games in Section 141 and 144, you would mutually agree on a game. $50 for that raffle. So where you need to go to see these raffle items, there's another four more. But go to voice-stl.org/gala. That's voice.stl. Or voice-stl.org
/gala. I will put it up also in my when I podcast the show. I'll put up the website so you can go check out the raffle items. I would really appreciate it. I know the organization would really appreciate it. They do such great work here in St. Louis. They're an organization that speaks up for kids in foster care. They advocate for abused and neglected children and youth in St. Louis. They've asked me to MC their big fundraiser on April 27th. And if you want to go to the event, go to the Voices for Children website and you can get tickets. $250 ticket. It's dinner, it's drinks at the Ritz-Carlton in Clayton. And the money goes to a fantastic organization. So when we come back, I am going to talk a little. I don't know what I'm going to do next. I've got a couple items. Maybe we'll talk Mizzou spring game right after the break here on the Mole Hole. 590 The Fan KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.